Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I gotta put on my suit because I know I'm about to get cooked on the text line for this opinion. That's okay. Let me ask you guys this. Do you feel the Chiefs have a question going into left tackle heading into the 2026 season? I'm serious. Do you think the Chiefs have a... Do you think they have the answer going into the 2026 season at left tackle? Because this time a year ago, we spent a lot of time talking about left tackle. A lot of time talking about it. And now heading into this season, I don't really know why you would feel super secure about left tackle. These are two things that are undeniable to me when talking about Joshua Simmons. The first part, I think it's a little bit uncomfortable, but we have to discuss. Josh Simmons was gone for a month, and none of us know why. And I'm not saying that we need an explanation. I'm not saying that Josh Simmons has to come out and tell us exactly why. But if we don't really understand the why or how, I don't know how I can assume that it won't happen again. In the middle of your first season, you just left for whatever issue it could be, personal issue, family issue, whatever it is. But are we now 100% certain that Josh Simmons is just going to be there all 17 games next season? Like, I just don't know how you can guarantee me that if you also can't tell me exactly what it was. That's number one. And number two, Rob, Josh Simmons' career ended at Ohio State because of what? An injury, right? He couldn't finish out the season because he was injured. Why did Joshua Simmons' first year in the National Football League end? It ended because of an injury. So injury to end your career, injury to start your career, off the field issue that is just uncertain. We don't know. So I don't want to assume or speculate on what it is, but I'm just asking the question. I'm not saying the Chiefs need to go out and spend more money and more investment at left tackle, but I don't also know if we can go into the 2026 season also looking at left tackle like they have something that is certain, because I don't think they have something that is certain. I don't think it's one of the bigger question marks that they have on their team, but I certainly think it's in the Chiefs' best interest to go maybe have you a veteran in place where if something goes left with Joshua Simmons next year, you can easily have that guy slide in and you give yourself a little bit of protection. If you think that Jalen Moore is now going to move over to right tackle, I think the Chiefs owe it to themselves. And I'm not talking about a fourth round draft pick that if something happens to Simmons, he can slide in. I'm saying it might be in their best interest to spend a little bit of money in free agency as a break in case of emergency swing tackle at left or a right tackle. So if an injury happens with Joshua Simmons, you can still manage when it comes to your offensive line.
So we don't see Josh Simmons the same at all, and that's fine. First and foremost, I am going to be anti-spending actual resources on a backup left tackle this offseason. Hard pass. You have Jalen Moore on the roster. You can swing him over if there's an injury again. And I found out last season that while he's not all pro, while he's not elite, you can survive in advance with Issa Pole or whatever the equivalent is for 3 to 4 weeks. So I've seen it on mock drafts. Hey, you got to get a left tackle. No. Hard pass on actual resources going to left tackle. This team has too many other needs. That's first and foremost. Secondarily, I think Joshua Simmons is the answer at left tackle. I don't know he's Trent Williams, and I think it's fair to ask, hey, you had injury concerns at Ohio State, now you had an injury in the NFL. That's a fair question to ask. Where I don't think is fair is holding the situation against him because it seems like it's a massive outlier. They're not the norm. We don't see a lot of situations like we saw with Josh Simmons this year happen in the league. It's not like every season we have a story pop up. Hey, player blank just disappeared for 4 weeks and, you know, everyone's cool with him coming back. It is an outlier. So I'm going to treat it like an outlier and not the norm. Now, if it becomes the norm, we can change the conversation. But for now, I am saying that as an outlier because in the history of the NFL, moments like that are in fact the outlier.
I 100% with you. And I'm not trying to use the off-the-field incident as a sort of red mark on what it is. But if we're going to tell the story of Josh Simmons missed more time in 2025 than he was on the field for different reasons, but he was there 50% of the time. Man, it's really hard to do when you were talking about that position and the importance of that position and what him not being there means for the rest of the team. I would say, and I think you've noticed this too, one thing that I think I've started to realize is, depending on how the injury happens, the text line then, they like take points for it away from being hurt. So if one of your guys hits you, that doesn't count for an injury, but if a Raiders player hits you, then it's more of an injury. I don't care how you got hurt playing football. Guys are always colliding into each other. Guys are always running and jumping and cut and doing all of these things. So yeah, maybe the injury didn't come from another player hitting him, but over the course of a football season, especially on the offensive line, you're always going to be in the middle of stuff. Guys are always going to be running and jumping into you. So in some ways, we see this happen with other players. Michael Penix, for example. Michael Penix got hurt twice when he was in college. Shocker. His first year as a starter in the National Football League. What happened? He got hurt again. Joshua Simmons was hurt in college and had a significant injury that ended his season. Now fast forward to the NFL. How did his first season end? It ended in injury. So going into it, he just hasn't shown himself with the ability to consistently stay on the field at a position in which you desperately need that guy to be on the field. Their offensive line moving forward just doesn't work without him being on the field and being consistently. If we are making a list of who are the most important players, and if you were talking about turning this thing around, if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, and who needs to be at the core of it, who needs to be a Pro Bowler, who needs to be an All-Pro, who are the young, talented players that need to take that next step into Patrick Mahomes 2.0, Joshua Simmons is high on the list. If he can play 15, 16 games a year and be an All-Pro player, it drastically changes your run game. It drastically changes your quarterback play and your passing game. But one of the problems for the Chiefs in 2026 is they still had to keep figuring out issues at left tackle that you would assume when you drafted Jalen Moore, when you got Jalen Moore in free agency, and when you drafted Joshua Simmons, we wouldn't spend the amount of time talking about left tackle that we did in 2026.
I think with the injury thing, now I have noticed, the text line does, for some reason, not count injuries if they happen like freak accidents. Injuries are injuries.
100%.
Me and you agree. I'm not going to slap the title on him injury prone because I feel like the two injuries are very different. He suffered a leg injury in college and a wrist injury in the NFL. You're right. It's two injuries. I'm not arguing that.
Agreed.
But it's different to me than Sammy Watkins. You know what Sammy Watkins was consistently hurt with? Soft tissue injuries. He always was fighting the same injury. It might not have been the same leg, the same hamstring, the same quad, but he was always fighting the same thing. It's cross sport, but I think you'll understand. how often when we were kids did you hear Mike Sweeney is hurt with an oblique or something in his midsection or his core? It was always, or his back. It was always something in the same vicinity. When Mike Sweeney, a wrist and a leg injury are not the same to me. So I'm going to be hesitant to slap that tag on him. Now, if next year he then suffers an elbow injury where he had the wrist injury, I will be more open to it. But those seem like they are not a trend. They're two things that are unrelated. So I'm not willing to slap the injury tag on him just yet.
I think it's something to keep an eye on.
That's fair.
Because
I would do that.
If we're being honest, if Joshua Simmons played running back, we'd be having this conversation right now. If you were hurt your last year in college and you started getting hurt in the National Football League at running back, you would start to get the tag of injury prone very often. I think this is where I at least have the conversation about when it comes to friendly fire. Sometimes I think we treat football like a video game. Rob, you know how if you're playing a video game with your friends, how you can turn the damage off where your friends can't hurt you and only the enemies can hurt you? Well, we watch football games, right? Your own players run into you all the time when playing football. How many times have we seen an offensive lineman that got hurt and it wasn't because a defensive player did it? It was because the pile moved and you got rolled up on by your own guy and now your leg was in a bad situation. We see that happen all the time in the National Football League. So I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm not saying any of those things. To me, it just doesn't really care how you got hurt. I don't care why you're not on the field. But we need you on the field. What's that saying? Your best ability is availability. Joshua Simmons was only available half the time. Well, Patrick Mahomes needs him there 100% of the time. And you saw when the Chiefs didn't have Joshua Simmons on the field, what kind of effect that had to their quarterback. I see all the time on the text line, 913-586-7965. Man, the most important thing is protecting Patrick Mahomes. You got to keep Patrick Mahomes upright. Man, you can't do that if you play in 8 games. You can't do it. And now you put the team in a position where they got to try to figure out who can do it for you. The Chiefs need Joshua Simmons to work. They need it to work. They have spent a lot of money, a lot of resources, a lot of time in making it work. And part of how they got themselves in this situation is, man, you keep missing on first round picks. You spent this first round pick. Guy didn't really give you nothing. He was hurt. You spent money on this guy in a first-round pick. Guy only played in 8 games this year. You spent money on this first-round pick. And George Karlaftis, he only had 6 sacks this year. Man, if the Chiefs are going to get back to the Super Bowl with these picks that they have where you got a pick in the top 10 and a pick in the top 40, man, you got to start turning these guys into guys we're not putting asterisks by. These guys got to be all pros. These guys got to be Pro Bowlers. These guys have to replace the Hall of Famers that you are losing. You might be losing Travis Kelce, you've lost Tyreek Hill. You guys want to trade Chris Jones. Man, how do you get back to Super Bowls without these great impact players that are there game in, game out, making plays? We'll continue to talk about the NFL playoffs and get you guys right. We can continue to talk about this, 913-586-7965. I think the Chiefs still have some question at left tackle. It's not as big of a question as they had a year ago. They're not going to do anything at left tackle, but I think it would be in this organization's best interest to bring in a veteran on a 1-year, $7 to $8 million deal, maybe to push Joshua Simmons, be there as a mentor. And if something goes wrong with Josh Simmons in 2026, you got a veteran that you can slide in there and that you trust and can also protect Patrick Mahomes. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
Maybe you like cooking, maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Text line 913-586-7965. We were talking about Josh Simmons, and I asked the question, what's your confidence in left tackle heading into the 2026 season? We spent a lot of time a year ago, and left tackle was everybody's number one ask. The Chiefs spent a first-round pick on a left tackle. I would say, in a lot of ways, his year was just an incomplete. He had a good start to his career. He had some personal off-the-field issues that got addressed. He then got back on the field and then got hurt. He couldn't finish his last year at Ohio State. He couldn't finish his first year with the Kansas City Chiefs. Heading into this upcoming season, I'm looking at it on, as they are transitioning into this next stage of Patrick Mahomes' career, who can he rely on? Who can he depend on? And do you feel like Joshua Simmons is one of those people that you can put in the crock pot? Set it over there and don't need to worry about it. That's how we treated Chris Jones for a decade. That's how we treated Travis Kelce for a decade. They've had other players, but you get the point. The Chiefs had stars. You knew every single year what you could expect from that player. They were going to be there. They were going to be guys that you can depend on. As we are now going into the next phase of this thing, I'm trying to figure out who that next wave is going to be. I don't know if Rashee Rice is in that category. I don't know if Xavier Worthy is in that category. I'm not sure if they're going to put Trent McDuffie in that category. We'll see how things continue to play themselves out. As the Chiefs try to retool this thing, what is their foundation? Who is a part of their foundation? Who can they rely on to get them back to the playoffs, winning their division, competing for championships, etc.? Somebody on the text line said, would you say this about Ricky Pearsall? Yes, I would. Now, the first year, yeah, we all know what happened. I don't think it's Ricky Pearsall's problem that he got shot. Like, that's a very, very unique situation. He was out minding his own business. Somebody came up to him, shot him for his watch. That was 2 years ago. This year, Ricky Pearsall played 9 games and couldn't play in their most important game of the season when they needed it to be the one seed in the NFC. Yeah, Ricky Pearsall absolutely deserves to be called injury prone at this stage in his career. When you've been needed most by your team, you were unavailable to play. Yeah, I would say that about Ricky Pearsall. First year, absolutely. Very unfortunate situation that you did not cause. Not football related, just a tragedy happened, for sure. No question. This season, he played in 9 of their 17 games. Yes, Ricky Pearsall gets the injury-prone label, in my opinion, for sure.
So I guess we just differ on what injury-prone is, and that's fine. I don't know that missing the most important games makes you injury prone. I think Ricky Pearsall in his first season, I'm not counting last season because of being shot, in his first season, battled injuries. Let's see if it continues to be the trend. If it's the trend, I'll jump on there with you. But maybe this is semantics. I don't consider he missed the most important games, thus he's injury prone, as the how you slap that tag on someone. Sammy Watkins was injury prone. It's not because he missed week 13 every year. It's because he was constantly battling injuries in the same area of his body. For him, it was legs. So I say it's unfair to call Ricky Purcell injury prone. You can say he battled injuries this season, but I just guess we differ on what you would say injury prone is in the NFL.
Text line 913-586-7965. Curious what you guys think about my question about left tackle and where are we at heading into the 2026 season and where they are and who do you believe in, who do you trust in, who can you put into the good category of just guys that you trust. Rob, let's talk about the game that we have coming up on Saturday night between the Packers and the Bears. It's funny because I think Green Bay is the better team out of these two. I think the public also thinks that. Vegas thinks that. They are a road favorite in the postseason. They are in the same division as Chicago. Chicago won that division. Chicago won the last matchup between these two teams, yet the Packers are the favorites. I don't know, man. Call it a hunch. I think Chicago wins tomorrow night. I don't think it's a blowout. I don't think it's a high-flying, super exciting game. I think Chicago's winning tomorrow. I can't really even explain why I think that. I think the Bears, I think the Packers are better than them. I think the Bears are fortunate to be in this position. I've just seen the Packers outplay them two times. I just don't think they're going to outplay them for a third time. Call it a hunch. I'm taking the Bears on Saturday night at home.
So I was thinking about this as you were talking about this game. You just told me one of the reasons why you're taking the Panthers to lose this weekend is because everything had to go right for them to win. Have you looked back at that game in Soldier Field on December 20th? Because I would tell you a lot of things went absolutely the Bears' way, and that's how the Bears won. And are you thinking that can happen again? Because that if you're saying it's just a hunch and I'm just playing the hot hand, that's cool. But the Bears won the turnover margin. The Bears had multiple goal line stops, and the Bears needed help at the end of the game from an onside kick and then in overtime to beat the Packers. Is that replicatable? I don't know. It feels like all season the Bears have been playing with fire, and they really haven't been burned yet. I guess they got burned a little bit in the Lions game, but like I don't know if the Lions were good enough to actually burn them in a game that matters. I actually feel like the Packers are going to go in there and take care of business, and I feel like the takes about Caleb Williams are going to be flying around hot and fast on Monday. Maybe not from this show, but pick a national show, and Caleb Williams' takes are coming from that person.
I guess maybe a better way to put it. I'm a little bit worried about Jordan Love, who has been hurt these last couple of weeks, and now him coming back a little bit cold and what that means for their offense. I'm not entirely sure I trust the Packers to run the football effectively. Josh Jacobs, very inconsistent year, very up and down. So I've got my questions about that. And maybe I just think in this way, I just think the coin once again flips in the Bears' favor. The Bears had a chance to win the first game. Caleb throws a bad pass, throws that interception in the end zone, and that ends the game. I thought the Packers kind of outplayed the Bears pretty clearly, and then just the game flipped completely on its head. I don't know, man. I just got a feeling the Bears just win this game. This just feels to me like a 24-21, 24-20. Everybody thinks the Packers are going to win. The Bears just continue this run that they've been having that we can't really explain. I don't know if the Bears are good. I don't know if they're not good. They just keep finding ways to win. That's just where I am. I got Chicago winning.
Like I said, I feel like the Bears have been playing with fire. And you're right. They've been winning a lot of these coin flip games. They lost the coin flip game in Lambeau. They won the coin flip game in Soldier Field. This game's in Soldier Field. It just feels like, and maybe I'm coming at this because I watched the Chiefs this season, I watched the Chiefs last season. Playing with fire and being in that many close games, you eventually get burnt. Maybe not to the level the Chiefs eventually got burnt, but you get burnt. And Chicago, it's not just the one Packers win. You go through their schedule, it's a lot of, wow, they pulled that one out of the fire. I don't know you can do that over the course of an NFL season and keep surviving. I like the Packers in this one, but even if the Bears win, I think the Bears are one and done. I do not see the Bears doing this twice. They are one and done no matter what. I don't think they are winning this one, though.
Would you trade Rashee Rice straight up for Luther Burden?
Yes. Okay, off the field changes that a lot.
I was just curious. I was curious where you are right now with Luther Burden. Because
that's more
you want to know somebody who is figuring it out the last 2 months? Luther Burden is starting to figure it out at wide receiver.
I actually think my answer is more an indictment on Rice than Burden. Not to say Burden's not figuring it out. I think Burden is starting to figure it out. But I think the situation with Rice is why I would do that.
That's fair.
Now, if I threw it to you, Worthy for Burden.
Yeah, I'd rather have Luther Burden than Xavier Worthy.
I think that one's more interesting.
I don't even really think it's close. I'd rather have Luther Burden than have Xavier Worthy.
It wasn't like Luther Burden exactly set the world on fire this season.
No, he
figured it out late, and that's what rookies are supposed to do. But you could argue that Xavier Worthy last season figured it out late, and that's what rookies are supposed to do.
Yeah, but right now, if you gave me a crystal ball and you told me that in 2026, one of those two receivers had 1,000 yards receiving, I think it's much more likely Luther Burden has 1,000 yards than Xavier Worthy does next season.
I would bet neither of them have 1,000 yards.
I'm saying right now, if I could look into the future and I told you that either Luther Burden or Xavier Worthy had 1,000 yards, I think it's more likely that it's Burden than it's Xavier Worthy. I just think Burden can do more. I think he's a bigger. I think he can run more routes. I think Burden is a more talented receiver than Xavier Worthy is.
I also think part of this is I don't know what the Chiefs offensive coordinator situation is. Like, we know Andy's going to call the plays, but like, Ben Johnson might be the best offensive mind of football right now. Like, Ben Johnson is that guy. But I think I might take Worthy over Burden.
You want to know why?
It's really close.
Another reason I like Burden, other than the Mizzou connection. You want to know how I think Ben Johnson's using him? He's using him like Jameson Williams.
It's at Ben Johnson's point. If you put Xavier Worthy in Luther Burden's shoes, I think Xavier Worthy would be more successful. If Xavier Worthy was in the Jameson Williams mold, if they were using him that way, I think you would feel very differently about Xavier Worthy.
I don't really think that Worthy's a great route runner. I think that Burden is Burden is a better route runner than he is. I think that Burden, like, for the 2 years, there's not a lot of big explosive downfield plays that you feel like Xavier Worthy has made in his career. Like, I'm looking at Burden to me as a guy who I think could develop into a one. But based on what we've seen so far in the first two seasons, I would be surprised if Xavier Worthy was a number one wide receiver in the league. I think he can be a productive number two in the league. I would be surprised if he turned out to be a number one. I would not be very surprised if Burden developed into being that in the next two seasons.
I'd be surprised if Burden turned into a one. And that's not an insult on Burden's ability. I'd be surprised if he turned into a true number one receiver. And again, maybe this is semantics. I don't know we'll ever view Burden in the same light that we view, like, oh man, wide receiver one, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Luther Burden. I don't see that.
I agree with that.
I think his ceiling is probably top, really good number two. And if your team stinks, he can be your one just because someone has to be your. He can be DJ Moore, just to say in this Chicago. I think his ceiling is DJ Moore.
I think he can be T. Higgins.
I don't think he can be T. Higgins. I think you're really under, for someone who loves T. Higgins as much as you do, you love T. Higgins. Pull T. Higgins stats. Luther Burden can't do what T. Higgins is doing.
I think I'm with you. I saw a lot in the second half of the season that makes me think that he has a chance of turning it around. I would say he did that thing that a lot of Chiefs receivers have done the last couple of years, where in the last 6 weeks of the season, he started to figure things out and started to make big plays in big time kind of games. Against Green Bay, he had 4 catches for 67 yards. Against San Francisco, he had 8 catches for 138 yards. He started to really kind of figure something out. Ben Johnson started to trust him a little bit more and put him on the field and started to use him in a much different way. I think the arrow is clearly pointing up for Luther Burden. Let's see if there's a new level, a next level for him. I always think the right play for Packers touchdowns is Romeo Doubs. Right now, it's 2-1 for Romeo Doubs. That's probably the play to me. If you want a Packers touchdown, I would take Romeo Doubs at 2-1. If you're going to give me a Bears touchdown, I just always think Swift or Kyle Manungai at plus money. I mean, you're giving me Kyle Manungai at 2-1. You're giving me DeAndre Swift at plus 155. One of those two guys is going to find the end zone. You just got to flip the coin and hope you get it right.
Yeah, I mean, to your Ben Johnson point, Ben Johnson is someone who tried to bet a lot of Lions touchdowns last season. Ben Johnson doesn't really follow the fold, which is why those numbers are plus money. I agree with you. Kyle Manungai or DeAndre Swift is a smart play. I don't hate Colston Loveland at plus 210. I don't hate it.
I agree with that.
We saw how Ben Johnson used tight ends over the course of the season between Loveland and Komet this year in Chicago. We saw it last year in Detroit with Sam Laporta. Like, I don't think Colston Loveland's a star, but at plus 210, I think if you want to take a little bit of a bigger swing, that's a good value bet for Saturday.
So usually, I'm just going to give you guys a little bit of a backstory. Spectre, Rob, and I all have a meeting. We have a meeting every day, maybe twice, two meetings a day. We just kind of talk about the show, talk about sports, just guys. Spectre came in there today. He had a little bit of bop in his step, and he said, "I've got a spec says if you need it." And I was like, we don't really need it. We got two college football playoff games. We got five NFL playoff games this weekend. The Chiefs' number one wide receiver might be getting fired on his day off. Like, we got a lot. He's like, "No, I've got a spec says today." And I was like, "All right." I was like, "Don't tell me what it is. I don't want to know what it is. Please don't tell me what it is." I said, "Go record it. Save it in the system, and I'll play it, and we can all hear it together." So I don't know what this spec says is. I don't know what it's about. But when your boss comes in there and says that he wants to say something, sometimes you got to let the man talk.
All right, CDOT, you ready for this one? Because I know if you're watching on YouTube, you're about to start shaking your head. But here it goes. I think the NFL playoffs are overrated. I think the beauty of the NFL is Sundays with multiple games, with red zone, with fantasy football, parlays on multiple games going on at the same time in two different windows. The NFL playoffs one game at a time after getting 18 weeks of eight or three, four games at a time chunks in that noon or 3:25 window, it's just hard to then go to one game at a time. And I think the other part of it for me is the intensity level of the regular season doesn't really jump up to a different level in the NFL playoffs. Like, if you watch Major League Baseball in July, you get a completely different product in October. You love the NBA, CDOT. February basketball is completely different than April basketball. Same thing in hockey. The way football is designed, it is intense and violent from start to finish. And so that jump in caliber, it's not like the caliber of play or the caliber of effort goes up in the NFL playoffs. It's the same as it was in the regular season. Obviously, there's more at stake, but the game doesn't fundamentally change like it does in baseball, basketball, and hockey.
All right. This is a very interesting take from Steven Spector. I don't 100% disagree with it. I disagree with it, but I don't 100% disagree with it. I don't disagree that a playoff game in terms of intensity and how it feels watching it doesn't feel that much different than watching a very intense regular season game. I do agree with it there, where in those other sports, it is drastically different watching an NBA game in May and June than it is in watching an NBA game in December. They're not the same product at all. Also in baseball, very different products watching the Royals in June than watching them in October for a lot of different reasons. So I don't disagree there. This is where I would disagree with Spec, Rob, and I'm curious how you feel. I feel like the volume distracts you from the actual product. The NCAA tournament, when it was packaged and you had to watch one game and then it would take you to this and it would just only give you the exciting parts of it, man, it was great. You want to know what some people's interests are? When you had to really sit down and you realize, oh, I'm just watching Notre Dame play Wisconsin now. Like, I get all of it. I think it distracts you from the quality of it. What Spectre is telling me is when I got to sit down and just watch one NFL game and I don't get all the bells and whistles, I don't like it as much. That's how I hear it. Now, what I do really appreciate about the playoffs, which I think is very different than how I watch the regular season NFL, is I like the story building and the layering as an NFL game continues to progress. It's like a boxing match. I like the early rounds where the two fighters are kind of feeling each other out. And then you get a couple of big shots and oohs and ahs, and then you see who's going to be able to have the stamina to be able to finish the round. I like that part about where we get to the playoffs. I like watching the game in the first half and then wondering what the adjustments are going to make and the swings in emotion and the back and forth. And you've been so emotionally invested in this thing. So by the time you get to the final 15 minutes, you feel like you know what's going on. And then you never know what kind of undecided twist they could take at the end. I like the fact that the pace of the NFL slows down and you can really focus in on one game. Sure, you're going to get some duds, no question. I don't think that all six of these playoff games we get this weekend are going to be some knockout, drag-out, instant classic games. But yeah, out of the six that we have, four are going to be amazing. There's going to be two blowouts. There's going to be two teams that don't show up. An injury happens that radically changes it. But This is, to me, is when the NFL starts to tell stories and really builds up the drama of the game. The weather is cold. The day goes from day to night. It's just a lot of those things about the storytelling and imagery of the NFL that I think make the playoffs very great. And it's the single elimination part of it. One mistake, one missed field goal, one turnover, one thing can end your entire season of a thing that we all have been watching since January and following. So overrated is very, very strong to me. I can't stand with Steven Spector on that.
I don't believe it's overrated, but this take has some nuance. I both agree and disagree with him all at the same time. I don't think it's overrated, but I don't think he's wrong to say a lot of the bells and whistles are what make pro football fun. A lot of the bells and whistles are what makes Sunday great. I also think because of the physicality of the sport, week four intensity level looks very similar to wild card weekend. But I don't think that's a problem for the NFL. I don't think it makes it overrated. For me, it's not exactly a one-for-one comparison, but I kind of view the NFL playoffs the way I view college basketball's March Madness. We are going to tell stories about people, and it's one and done. Because you know as well as I do, Carrington, there is going to be a player this weekend who makes a play in a game or has a big day in a singular game, and we're going to talk about them like, oh, can they replicate that? Remember the Chiefs and Bills 13-second game. Gabe Davis got paid off that day.
For sure.
And that day alone. And now they lost the game, so the storytelling started and ended on that day for Buffalo. I get it. But there's a heroes and villains type of thing that arises. There's an underdog. Can you believe Dalton Kincaid did that? Can you believe Jacoby Jones, where he had that great playoff run as the punt returner for the Ravens, their Super Bowl? I disagree with overrated, but I do think the bells and whistles make the sport better, and you take that away and you're forced to just watch the game. It's not the same, but I don't think that makes it overrated. So I weirdly agree and disagree all at the same time with Spec.
This is one of the things, though, I think that's very different and very unique about football. Like, someone on the text line just sent this in. CDOT, this is a terrible take. I don't watch the baseball playoffs if the Royals aren't in, but I do watch the NFL playoffs if the Chiefs aren't in it. We got a whole lot of evidence that suggests America will just watch football. It doesn't matter what it is. America will, if you tell Americans football is on television, it doesn't even have to matter for anything. America watches the Pro Bowl. America watches the Pop-Tart Bowl. If you tell Americans football is on television, they are watching. America needs a reason to watch the other sports. They need, like, it's got to be a Caitlin Clark once-in-a-generational superstar that just pops up. It's got to be the World Series. It's got to be the Kentucky. It's got to be a spectacle to get you to watch all of these other things. You don't really need the spectacle to watch football. I think some of that is, man, people just watch football for different reasons. People don't really watch basketball for different reasons. Some of you watch football mainly because of gambling purposes. Some of you watch football mainly because of fantasy football. Some of you watch football because that is one of the few television shows that every week a group of people get together to eat and drink and talk and do those things. We all know a casual football fan that doesn't really like it, but just likes being around the energy of football. It's not really how America watches baseball. It's not really how America watches basketball. Like, I like the NBA playoffs more than I like the NFL playoffs. I just like sports. I like competition. I don't know anything about soccer. I'll watch the national soccer. I'll watch the Club Americano. I'll watch the World Cup. I don't know anything about it. The only thing I know in soccer is offsides and don't use your hands. I can't tell you anything else. I don't know anything else, but it's competition at the highest level. So I can understand how, for some people, hey man, once you eliminate the bells and whistles of football, the red zone, the fantasy football, once you eliminate all those things and it's just football, it's like, it's okay. I can understand that. That's not me, but I definitely get how someone can feel that way.
I do think where Spec's right is, there's an intensity ratcheted up, in the other sports that football doesn't have. Now, it's because of the physicality football has throughout the season. But he's right. If you watch we'll use the Royals from two seasons ago. If you watch the Royals in July, they take on the Orioles with the K. It's, you know, you're fun, you're having a hot dog, baseball's on. You watch it in October, we were at Jefferson's for a watch party a couple years ago. You're hanging on by a thread every single pitch. It's a different intensity. Football doesn't have that, but that's only because the sport is so physical on October 11th and January 11th.
I actually think of differences. I don't disagree with you. I also think a difference is what makes football different. Like, football games can just end. Like, they just end, right? In baseball, you got to do something to make it end. Like, there's no question to me, if we're just like, what is more entertaining? The final inning of a baseball game is much more exciting than the final 3 minutes of a football game. Because you got to go out and get the outs. In football, you can run out the clock, one team has the ball, and you can just, no, that's not how baseball is. You got to go get the outs, which I think just make it a very exciting, like, all of these sports, the mechanism of how they end, I think just end very, very differently. But I enjoy the fact that we have spent so much time watching this thing and seeing how it ends. I'm not watching the first 5 seasons of a show, and then we get to the season finale. I'm like, nah, I'm out. No, I've invested 60 episodes into this show. I want to see how this story ends. So we are now getting to the part where we see how the story ends in the National Football League. But why I like the NBA playoffs and why I like the Major League Baseball playoffs are just different. Like, what I love about the NBA playoffs is, man, for 2 months, basically, they're just hitting you over the head for basically 6 weeks of just every day you are watching basketball played at the absolute highest level and the swings and back and forth of a series. The NFL playoffs are just very different in that way. Coming up at the top of the hour, Nate Taylor is going to join us in studio. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Have you guys seen this story that's circulating the city? This man robbed somebody. I don't know all the particulars. But he robbed them in a Chiefs jersey. I got so many questions about this situation. Number one, why are you robbing people? That just doesn't seem like the right thing to be doing. Number two, Rob, they got this man. Have you seen the picture? They got him in 4K. I mean, I don't know who it is, but trust me, somebody knows who this man is that robbed these people armed robbery style. Somebody knows who he is. It's a very clear picture, 1080p picture. People own Leo Chenal jerseys? Like, I'm serious. Some of you, you went to Rally House, and they had the Mahomes. Like, nah, I'm good. I don't need that one. They had the Kelsey. They had the Chris Jones. People got a Leo Chenal jersey? I didn't know he was that popular of a player. The people, I didn't even know they offered the Leo Chenal jersey. I didn't even know that that was a jersey that you could buy. They sell those? I had no clue. I didn't know. I didn't know he was that popular of a guy that people had purchased his jersey.
You got to be a real, real deep cut fan to have a Leo Chenal jersey. Deep cut.
I'm just assuming if you have a Leo Chenal jersey, you just have a bunch of other Chiefs jerseys. Like, how many different Patrick Mahomes jerseys do you need? How many different Travis Kelce jerseys could you get? I would just say if you're at the point of getting a Leo Chenal jersey, you just got to go throwback then in that scenario. Like, I would just go on Mitchell and Ness, and you can get the authentic Joe Montana at that point. Now, someone makes a good point. You know, normally jerseys like that, you can get on the discount rack. All right, that makes a lot of sense to me. I want a Chiefs jersey. My coins are a little bit low. They're selling the jersey for, you know, $50. Yeah. Okay, that makes a little sense to me. Someone on the text line says they have a DeAndre Hopkins Chiefs jersey. Why?
I mean, I agree with you why. But you remember, there were a lot more Hopkins believers when that trade happened than at least we're on this show.
I still ask the question, why?
Fringe Hall of Fame guy on Chiefs? Thought something special could happen?
I'm not here to judge how anybody spends their money.
What if it's a Brian Waters jersey?
You think he's got that? You think you're out here committing armed robberies at one of the light properties, like one light, two light. It was one of the light properties. You think you're walking around three light and you're robbing people in the Brian Waters throwback?
It makes more sense to me. With, person with the Brian Waters throwback probably didn't have the coin to buy a Leo Chenal.
With no mask.
That's robbery.
With no mask.
Well, that's just stupidity, but that's...
Okay, I just wondering.
I mean, we just watched a whole ESPN documentary about someone who wore a Chiefs jersey and robbed places.
If you have the DeAndre Hopkins, you have to be a Clemson alum. That's the only way I would consider that to be a good purchase. Do you think there's Chiefs fans that have a Juju Smith-Schuster jersey?
Probably. It would surprise me, but probably.
The only real thought I have about this is, I don't know if we can ever really say what anybody else buys is stupid, because if you would buy a DeAndre Hopkins Chiefs jersey, I think somebody's allowed to say that was a silly purchase. So I don't know if you can then turn around and then when your wife is like, oh, I bought this thing, like, babe, that's dumb. When she goes to your closet and then hands you a Leo Chenal jersey, I don't know if you can really question her purchase. Like, whenever your wife just goes in and randomly buys things at Target, you're like, we don't really need this. She doesn't need that any more than you need a Leo Chenal Chiefs jersey. Both of you bought something that you don't need.
I will say, and this is not the point of your conversation, that's a rule I carry in my life, in my home. I will not make fun of my wife's Old Navy or Sephora purchases because I know how it happens. She turns around and tells me, how much money did you spend this year on Kansas football and watching KU versus Green Bay? And then I lose. I lose that conversation.
Okay.
So I don't judge their purchases because my version of the Leo Chenal jersey is not a conversation I want to get into in my house.
Okay, now this person then texted in, I got it because my last name is Hopkins. That makes a lot of sense to me. You don't got to go personalize jersey. You can just go get the DeAndre Hopkins now. You got to live with whatever number DeAndre Hopkins picks. But that actually makes a lot of sense to me if that's the case.
Yeah, like if the Chiefs drafted someone this year named Harrison and they wore 24 and you got a Harrison jersey, like you personally, all right, cool, I get it. It makes sense. But if you were
sure.
Like, man, I love Nuke Hopkins, I need one, that makes no sense
okay,
to me.
Okay, all right, I'm asking questions. Because when I saw it, I honestly, I wasn't thinking, oh man, I was thinking, somebody has a Leo Chenal jersey? And I was wondering, you committed a crime and they got you in HD. You're a real bad criminal if there is an HD photograph of you leaving the scene of the crime. You didn't really think this out. You didn't do all the necessary planning that you needed to do to successfully get away with this crime. If I have no clue who you are, I don't live in this building, all of a sudden I get on Facebook and you know there's like suggested posts. If the first thing I see when I get on Facebook is an HD picture of you and the cops are saying that you committed armed robbery, you did a very poor job of planning ahead when it came to this crime. And I'm just going to guess you did it. I don't know what it did, but the cops are saying they got a 4K photograph of you and they say they're looking for you. I'm assuming that you committed the crime.
I mean, I don't know if he did or didn't commit it. All I know is sometimes these photos come out, you know, from KNBC 9 News or whoever, and it's like so-and-so, and it's like a grainy photo of something happened at this block of this and this at 7 o'clock at night. This looks like an iPhone picture taken by one of his friends. It's crystal clear.
I have another question to ask you before Nate Taylor comes into the studio. You know, Fernando Mendoza, he's probably going to be the number one overall pick, right? Like, he's a very good quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner, very deserving of the Heisman Trophy. Seems like a really, really good guy. You know how they ask you all those weird questions when you're getting ready for the draft process? You got to take, like, the Wonderlic, and you got to do all of these things. So someone asked Fernando Mendoza what he ate for dinner last night. Just randomly, hey, what'd you eat for dinner? He said macaroni and cheese and dino nuggets is what he said. That was his answer to the question. Millionaire athlete, Heisman Trophy winner, potential number one overall pick, face of a franchise. Couple nights before a big game, you get asked, hey, what did you eat for dinner? Man said mac and cheese and dino nuggets is what he said. He'd be off my draft board. He'd be off my draft board. The fact that you're telling me in Kansas City that you guys should be worried about somebody who had the same dinner as your seven-year-old yesterday, that person will never be Patrick Mahomes. That person will never win championships. That person will never be the face of a franchise. Come on now. I'm not saying you got to get a steak. That's all you can eat. Dino nuggets and mac and cheese? You're not getting the proper calories you need to be an NFL legend. You're not getting the proper nutrition you need to help turn the Raiders. You think you could turn the Raiders around and that's what you had for dinner? No, it's impossible to turn the Raiders around if that's what you had for dinner yesterday. I'm telling you, he'd be off my draft board right then and there. Changed my entire opinion about the man.
I mean, I don't disagree with you, but doesn't Patrick Mahomes put ketchup on everything? Shouldn't that be the same level of red flag?
Yeah, this
Patrick
is,
Mahomes.
I actually don't really believe that. This is what I think.
You don't hold on. You don't believe
that.
I don't believe that. You think it's just lore? It's just.
I think he was doing that in the beginning to try to be relatable to us, and then he just never talked about it. When's the last time Mahomes talked about this? He ain't talked about this in 6 years.
5 years have passed. No one asks about his ketchup habits anymore. He also has a ketchup endorsement now.
Yeah, because they were smart and they played it. They played it great, is what they did. They played it phenomenal.
You've been to 1587. They have a ketchup tray that you can get.
He sold a story, is what he sold. That's what he was. Early on in the beginning, he sold an incredible story. Oh, I do this funny thing with ketchup, and it's never come up again. Man, he talked about ketchup in 9 years. No way he does that.
If the Patrick Mahomes story is true, then you can't judge Fernando Mendoza for that and then be like, yep, my quarterback eats ketchup by the spoonful like a sicko.
Okay. All right. But
you don't believe
it. I don't believe
story.
It. I really don't. I think early on when they were trying to find a stick for Mahomes, I think they found a funny one.
That's
he eats ketchup with steak.
Then.
I think they found a funny one in the very beginning. And then once he started actually getting other endorsements for other stuff, they've pivoted and they don't have to talk about it. They don't got to sell that story to you anymore. I 100% believe that.
I just tell you this. If you're right.
Dino nuggets?
If the Patrick Mahomes story is fake, that's a bad story to make him relatable.
It was just, but early on it was funny. Like, ha, 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 hey, we don't really know this guy. We don't know this guy, but he's telling us this funny story. For a while there, that was the most relatable thing about Patrick Mahomes in the very, very beginning. And then we started finding more about his wife and his family and his brother and his kids and all of those kind of stuff. For sure. I 100% believe that Mahomes played that for the bag early on in his career. He found something marketable. He got paid for the catch-up story. And now he doesn't have to fake four endorsements anymore. He can get whatever he wants now. He's got shoes and glasses and water and insurance and all of this kind of stuff. I think the catch-up story was fake, is what it was. Dino Nuggets, you can't stop it. You're not winning the championship if that's what you're having on a Wednesday before a big game. You're cooked. You're a bust in the NFL. We got Nate Taylor coming up next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.